Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the Lanterne Rouge Cycling Podcast for a continuation of one of the best stage races this year. And it's still got a few stages to go. This has been unbelievably good action in Tour de Suisse. If you haven't been watching it, I know in some territories it is quite difficult to watch. It's been an unbelievable race. Summer's back. It's here. I'm a little bit frazzled. Went for a ride today and I was just, I was cooking. And I even met some podcast fans. I was doing Cold Ordino an interval. I go past people. Sometimes I go past people. And I heard, "Are you Lanterne Rouge?" Which is, that never happens in Andorra because no one knows who I am here.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear an Australian talk about, "Oh, it's too warm outside."
No, I've been handling
with a heat wave in Belgium and I am literally melting where I'm sitting. So I don't want to hear it.
I mean, I'm cooking with gas. My legs are on, I'm on fire. Anyway, big mountain stage. And this is, the Giro would have prayed to have a stage like this. I'll tell you what. 211 kilometers from Fiche to La Punte, Chamouze. I can't pronounce it. I don't know if it's French. I don't know if it's half German. I think it's, they're in the French. I don't know. Sorry, Switzerland. I have a small brain. 22 Ks of flat. Then the Furka Pass, 16.5 Ks, 6.4%. I think we are in the German speaking pass. But then a descent through Andermatt. Then the Oberalp Pass, 10.7 Ks, 5.6%. Both over 2,000 meters. That's a lot of fatigue, even though you do have about 120K valley afterwards. Before the Albula Pass, 17.5Ks, 6.8%. And the last 7Ks are very steady, 7.5%, up to 2,300 meters. That's Col de la Loz territory. Sierra Nevada's at 2,500. This is a very high finish before a 10 kilometer, 9.5 kilometer frantic descent into La Punte, where the stage finished. So interesting stage design because no one's going to go on the early climbs, but I do think those make a difference for later on for the fatigue. But we had a, there's actually, the break struggled to form, right, Benji? Because I swear, because we were watching on live stats, there were a few attempts to get in there.
Yes, certainly. And you said it, those early climbs will have an effect when it comes to tiredness for GC riders at the end, but also for the way the break is created. So many people want to get in a breakaway on a stage that have an uphill start and that could lead to a breakaway victory, that you've got this massive group forming every now and then. And it was kind of two massive groups this time around that eventually led to the breakaway that we had today. And so many riders were involved. I'm going to name you a few because there's no way I'm going to go through 30 names at the moment. Higuita was in there. Fanad was in there. Lascano, the man that climbed yesterday, unlike a ruler, like an actual climber. Powell is in there, the likes of Hirschi was in there, Stefan Kung, Simmons, Tiberi. Then I look at the second group that was trying to join that first group on the first climb, Kwiatkowski on 6 minutes in GC. I like that. I like seeing Ineos try something with a rider that is not their leader in a stage. And freeing Kwiat, we've asked for it for years. Sometimes it has occurred, but I wanted to see it this time around. The likes of Mauro Schmidt and Asgreen. So Quickstep really trying to put riders up there as well. Rui Costa as well in this group, and that's basically the most important names. I probably forgot a few, but there's so many names I can't name them all. Anyway, these two groups, they kind of form one breakaway, but not every single rider of this group gets in that final breakaway. Most of the names I just named actually end up being in that breakaway, and we see that over the top of that first climb, but mainly once we go on to the Oberalp Pass, I think the name is of the second climb, which was more the, I don't know. I don't know how you say this in English. We say this as dividing the sheep from the lions or something.
Excuse me.
That's some kind of expression where the stronger breakaway riders end up surviving that second climb at the start of the stage.
And then we get the actual, separating the wheat from the chaff. I have a farm. I have a, my own farmer's metaphor, separating the wheat from the chaff.
Okay. Yeah. I'll accept it. I'll allow it.
The cream rises to the top.
Yeah,
we could do this
exactly. I made it a lot harder than it was, eh? But when it comes to the eventual breakaway, I was interested. I was like, ooh, if I'm not in the breakaway in a mountain stage, I get immediate flashbacks. Morvan too. Oh my god, it's happening again. So at the start of the stage, I was dead set. Fnatic is going to destroy everybody here. But then I thought for a second and I thought about the sprint he did recently and the other stage. And I was like, he doesn't look in best form yet. So there was a chance that other people would win this stage. Quinn Simmons, I was curious about because I feel like last year, I recall him losing a Swiss stage in a mountain against Nico Dens.
The enemy, yeah.
The enemy. Why is he your enemy again? I forgot.
You know why.
I actually forgot. Oh, Berwick.
Yeah.
He killed Berwick? He killed him.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to bring us to where stuff starts happening. Simmons attacks in the valley. A group gets created with the likes of Paulus, Kuhn, Costa, Bernard, Lascano, Sobrero, Simmons, Hull, Tiberi, Higuita, and Gogol. And then we've got a massive gap on Izaguirre because Izaguirre missed out. Lascano made it to the front group. Izaguirre missed out. Which, on paper, you'd say this is normal, eh? In a valley that the rulers try to attack the climbers, but...
And also attack Izaguirre specifically because they could be thinking, you're on 4 minutes. We don't want to give any additional excuse to the GC teams to chase you us harder than we need. They need to. Yeah. So Gorka, can you fuck off, please?
And he kind of temporarily fucked off, but not entirely because the peloton behind was keeping it quite close to the point that yesterday at the end of the podcast, I was like, this is going to be a dead set breakaway stage. We're going to lead it out to 6 minutes. But with Izaguirre being in the breakaway, with Kwiatkowski kind of being at the start in the breakaway, they probably weren't going to do that then, especially with Izaguirre. And the gap was 3 minutes. And what did you see in the peloton at the start of that final climb?
Not much, to be honest.
Yeah.
Remco doesn't have to do anything. If the group rolls over at the finish in La Punt 50 deep, Remco's absolutely fine with that because he will take enough, he'll back himself in the time trial on Sunday. So Quickstep aren't going to light it up. They're going to crawl. DSM, they started surging with riders on the front, maybe to try to get a reaction out of Quickstep, but Bardet wasn't in their wheel. And so it was, I think Knox was just like, I'm not going to chase you, Matt Dinham. Like, I just won't chase whatever you're doing. And then Dinham attacked off the front. I thought, well, maybe he's going to be a bridge for Bardet, but then Bardet wasn't doing anything. So I don't really know what DSM were doing.
I think that Dinham launch platform that they tried to create kind of failed because Dinham just couldn't get away enough from the Quickstep train that wasn't riding that fast of a tempo, but still fast enough to keep him close. But I do feel like at that point, I was looking at the peloton size and I was like, damn, this climb is really only 6% for 17 kilometers. Yes, altitude is coming. But at that point, I was fearing, what if we have nothing? But there was destined to have something happening because who needs to gain time? Gall needs to gain time before the time trial on both Skelmose and Remco. And Skelmose needs to gain time on Remco. So shit had to go down on this climb.
Yeah, I thought Asia 2 were going to try. And they had to because Gall is still in a deep hole because of the TT. Back to the breakaway, the wheat has been separated. And basically, Wout was doing a lot of the pacing, Benji. Just setting but it seemed like it wasn't that heavy a pace. It was dropping like, I don't know, it reduced the group to 8 or so. Kung was relaying with him. And then I think Costa attacked. Paulus went with him. And then Tiberi went with those guys. And Tiberi refused to ever pull. Is that right? Tiberi basically just sat on them the whole time whilst Paulus was pulling really hard and Costa looked okay. Costa seemed to, he's a wily veteran, pulled within his limits. And yet Tiberi was Hollywooding.
Yeah, Tiberi was holding up at the back. And to be honest, I kind of understand where he's coming from because Paulus on paper is the more better climber according to reputation, I would say. And for the rest, I would also say that Costa has so much reputation in Tour de Suisse, especially because he's won this race multiple times before. He's been DQ'd from a stage, was it 2 years ago, where he sprinted against Crohn after like a mountain stage? But he can win these kind of stage. He's proven it before time and time again. So if you're Tiberi, if you're a young dude that is a proper climber that occasionally shoots at a cat, then you're probably thinking, yeah, I should probably sit on and wait until the last portion of the climb and see if I survive in the first place.
Yeah. And you don't know how you're going to feel at 2,200 meters. You might feel good at 1,800, 1,900, and then all of a sudden you get to 2,250 and you're like, ooh, I don't feel too good. And you can just completely capitulate. So yeah, or maybe he was just like, well, these guys are going to pull. Well, I'll let them pull and then I'll finesse them. So yeah, it's the first time we've really seen him in action as he's been he did that mid-season transfer across to Bahrain victorious. And yeah, Wout was just not coming back to them. Kung, Wout, Simmons was dangling for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But Simmons, I think, completely blew up. Yep. He seemed like on 15 seconds. So our breakaway is basically Palos Costa, Jaberi, done them. Behind, what we expected to happen finally happens. Schmidt had been pacing at a sort of very, very slow pace correctly for Remco and Quickstep. And then the camera cuts back later, and it's Berthe? Someone from Asia Gisele was doing it. Was it Cheryl?
Oh, This is DSM domestique erasure. We had one DSM domestique pacing just before the Asia Gisele train arrived at the front. But you're right. It was it was both of them, I think. It was Berthe and Cheryl at this point, because they were talking to each other just before the move. And like looking at Remco for a bit, and they were all laughing at each other, Gallen and Remco and Berthe and Cheryl. So maybe they were thinking, okay, man, are we going to take a look at Remco, see if he's in trouble yet? But you're right, the Arche d'Isere, not similar to last time. Now it was just hard pacing for a limited amount of time to make sure that Gall can create separation that way. But instantly, we've got that same Remco response as we had yesterday, right? Immediately on a bit of a gap, dropping through the group.
Because he knows, okay, he's not in best shape. He cooked himself on the first mountain stage, better on the second one, and he's just going to do the same thing. Ride his own tempo. He's got the TT, already some time in the pocket for tomorrow. Schkelmoser didn't look so good yesterday compared to the day before, so just don't respond to the accelerations. Do your best average power that you can do on this climb and hope that that's good enough to be close enough and hope that there's some weird dynamics with the group ahead. And that's what happened with Remco, but we basically see, Wilco, Ayuso, Bilbao, Gol go clear. And I'm thinking Gol's just got to absolutely pin it. Van Aert's dropped back from the breakaway. He drives that group actually for a little bit, trying to take Wilco away from Remco. And then all of a sudden, there's just this monster Ayuso attack out of nowhere. He's been struggling in this race. Really bad the first mountain stage, I think okay yesterday, and he just whacks it, and I'm like, if he continues at this pace, like no one's going back to him, especially as Gol looked a little bit like after his attack, a little bit on the limit, Wilco and Bilbao probably a little bit stronger than him. Schkelmoser's dropped, and then there wasn't too much camera work, Benji, but I think there was then a group of Schkelmoser, Sheffield, somebody, Uran, and they drop Remco, and Remco was also just off the back a little bit, not very far off the back of that group, but Ayuso out of nowhere stomping.
I love it. I love seeing this, because obviously I'm trying to also look forward to the Vuelta and to know that UAE is throwing everything at it when it comes to Ayuso for the Vuelta, having had the injuries that he's had this season, building up towards Romandy, Swiss, TT win at Romandy, but outside of that, I'm not 100% sure I was 100% confident after Romandy when it comes to Ayuso. And when it comes to the mountain stage we had so far, I also wasn't when it comes to Ayuso. So yesterday was not good from Ayuso, but somehow he was able to stick himself still on a manageable gap in GC, which was 118. And when he did attacks today, and he does that to the point where he initially creates that serious separation, bridges to the breakaway, the three riders we said earlier, Paulus exploded already in that breakaway, dropping from those two riders, Costa and Tiberi. Ayuso gets to them, attacks them again, but the gap is suddenly huge, because on one end, Kelden, one end, Gall are probably pushing themselves a bit, but they're also with 2-3, and I feel like it was a combination of not being as good as Ayuso combined with some group 2 syndrome, no?
Nah, I just think they didn't have it.
Really?
Yeah, I think Ayuso just better. Because the gap, it's not like he went and just held 10 seconds, 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like, he ripped it open to make it nearly a minute. Like, that is you're just way better than these guys. And listen, I was talking to people yesterday, other pros, I was trying to figure out because I knew like it wasn't his knee that was the problem. He actually had a foot issue this season. Yep. And you'll see that in the celebration where he was, he had like a really big bunion on his foot, really painful. And he like, they couldn't sort it for a long time. And I think it's been sorted now, but he hasn't been training. And so I thought when he got, I would have thought with lower training volume than normal, he would have been really good on the first mountain stage, which was basically a UAE tour style mountain stage. And then this hugely attritional beast of a stage, he'd struggle because he'd have no engine, right? But it's the reverse. So I just don't know. I don't understand. I don't know. I'm not as can't see his training peaks, obviously, but it's excellent to see because yeah, it's been very exciting to see his development. And I was worried that injury could linger and listen, he's not out of the woods completely yet, maybe, but this is a very, very good sign. He gets to the top, I'd say a minute ahead of Goal, Wilco and Bilbao. Bardet's been dropped by that group. And you said he went past and screamed past Tiberi and Costa, right?
Ayuso
screamed past Tiberi and Costa.
Like, it's not even just catching up and then being strong. It was like catching up and then Tiberi couldn't hold the tempo in like 15 seconds and was gone.
Yeah.
Costa was already also having some trouble. Tiberi was both. They were both not in great shape anymore. They've been in the break for the entire day.
Yeah.
But having Ayuso fly past them must be so demoralizing because we're talking about 2K from the top of the climb. 2 kilometers later, being ahead, and they can sprint for the victory as long as they can stay with someone. Costa against Ayuso, though? If Ayuso caught up?
No, not against that. I mean, if Ayuso doesn't exist, Costa would have been to Tiberi easily. He dropped him on the descent. But against Ayuso, that's a tricky one because Ayuso's got to ride for GC, but he's got a big kick. That's an interesting hypothetical that would have been interesting to see. Anyway, here's the groups. Ayuso, now then a 58-second, maybe 1 minute gap to Wilco Bilbao and who else was there? Goal, as I said.
Goal.
Further back, now group four, maybe, if you count Tiberi and Costa ahead, is a group of Schelmoser, Ice Cool, Uran, Sheffield has actually dropped Remco. Then another group just behind across the top, Remco with, I don't know, random
Dylan Turns?
Yeah, Dylan Turns and Kian Oetebroeks as well. So it was all over. We had no time gaps to Remco group, but we saw Remco wasn't a million miles back. So GC was still very much in play on this descent with Ayuso taking time. He's only on 118. With Schelmoser wanting to take more time on Remco. With Goal, his GC kind of died. And Remco trying to save time before the TT tomorrow. Now this descent.
Well, his potential victory died, I would say.
Goal.
In GC, his victory died. But the man can still top five this race.
Yeah. But when he first attacked, I was like, if he drops Schelmoser and Remco here, because it was 5-7 Ks from the finish, they could lose a lot of time, but that didn't happen. The descent, very, very fast at the top for the first part, and then becomes gradually more technical. And by very fast, I mean these are big Swiss roads at high altitude. We're talking 100 kph plus that these guys are doing. Then it gets more technical. Ayuso is an excellent descender. He's full threat of death. We saw that in the Romandie. Did he win the Romandie TT?
Yeah, he did. Shockingly.
On the descent, right?
Yes, on the descent. You're right.
Yeah. So he's a madman.
it's also...
Go on.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Full threat of death, like he's that daring descender with enough technique to be able to show himself off like this. It's not like Pidcock where the technique is nearly perfection, but when it comes to Ayuso, there are a few corners like an S corner where he goes so fast into the first part of the S corner that his line in the second part is actually dangerous, but he managed to hold upright. But he goes like he's going 103 kilometers per hour on the straights, which is batshit crazy. Let's be honest about that. That is insane. I'm never going to go 100K on a descent. I will never want to try.
Actually.
You're crazy.
Down Arcolus.
I will never. I don't even want to talk about how fast I went down Col d'Ordino when I climbed up it.
But this is the straight bits, straight fast bits. I'm not. This is probably the only bit I'm like Remco. Remco's fine on those bits.
Yeah.
In fact, Remco was coming back to the group ahead. Schelmoser was coming back to Bilbao. Now I thought there is an advantage to have a group even on these sort of high-speed descents. Drafting actually does help a lot. Bilbao, Wilco lets him through, and he was on the front pinning it. But then we get into the switchbacks, the corners. There's some S-bends, some really tight ones. And this is where you really see, if you're in the pro peloton, almost all of them are going to ride 100 kph in a straight line. They don't care. That's fine. The difference you now see is who can corner at 50 versus wanting to go down to 40 in a hairpin. And we really see Schelmoser's outstanding descent. He comes back to Bilbao, which I didn't think was possible, actually. And maybe Bilbao didn't want to push forward with Wilco and Co on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back to them. Remco Tiberi's dropped by Costa. Tiberi's then dropped by the goal group, which is expanded. Remco's been dropped on the descent once it gets technical. And you see a couple of shots from behind of his lines. And I said this before. I already said this. As before the Giro as well, in a straight line, Remco is happy to go fast. He did it in the Vuelta last year on non-technical highway roads fast. But then you see his line compared to the others. There's a switchback and then into another hairpin. And he just like basically goes straight and locks it. And the others are like going full to the outside and actually using the whole width of the road. And he gets dropped on the descent by everybody pretty much, except for Kjaan maybe, or Turns. I can't remember. So that's another point of he's going to need to work on that in the off season, I think, because it's a weakness everybody knows now. It's obvious. But yeah, Schelmo's a Benji, ice in his veins. But we should probably go back to Ayuso. Ayuso just rides away with the stage, like unbelievable. But to hold on to a 54-second gap, Bilbao attacked at the end, and Schelmo's came second with Bilbao ahead of Uran. Bardet came back on the descent, Kelderman in that group. Costa was basically there. Goal just got gapped a little bit at the end, lost another 4 seconds. Evenepoel on 120, so behind Ayuso, and lost another 27 seconds to Schelmoser before the TT tomorrow, which could be impactful. He was with a group of Turns and Oosterbrugs. Well, but let's talk about Ayuso, Benji.
First of all, there's three more days until the time trial. I know that don't really care about the GC in the next two stages, maybe, but...
No, things can happen.
Yeah, I agree, actually. And things needs to happen for certain riders because you just said it when it comes to this stage that Schelmoser has now gained another bit of seconds on Evenepoel. So that's 46 seconds between those two riders in GC. And if I take a look at the first time trial, we see that Remco had taken 13 seconds in 13 kilometers while the last time trial is 26. Yeah, you obviously can't just copy paste the time from the first ET to the second and do it times two. But for the sakes of the argument, it's going to be roughly around 30 seconds is what roughly Remco can take on Schelmoser if he's in similar form as the first time trial, is what I would say. If Remco's in good form, he usually takes more. But in stage one form, roughly 30 seconds. And 46 seconds is now the gap in GC. So I'm like, that's a bit much.
But I think longer is better for him.
On paper, yes.
Yeah, like I think it will exponentially be a little bit more time gap, but 46 seconds is not just a guaranteed he's going to make that up. Yep. It's a hillier TT as well, I think the final one. But yeah, GC is really finely balanced in this race right now. But yeah, Ayuso, unbelievable performance for UAE. He doesn't take the leader's jersey. His celebration, he was very, very pumped. He actually unclipped his right foot and pointed at that right foot across the finish line. He actually maybe handed a couple of seconds back, not knowing how close he was on GC. And should they send to the tour, Benji? If you don't know Poggi's condition.
I would love that. But to be honest, based on the climbing that we've seen yesterday, the inconsistency is there. Then I would rather see them go all out with a full-on preparation to the Vuelta and have him at his best there.
And he can focus on the riders.
He can win the Vuelta, 100%. He podiumed it last year with COVID in his veins, so he can do it without COVID.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do want to say, Ayuso is now on 18 seconds in GC. I'll let you go through it in a second, but do you feel like you expect Ayuso to attack in the next two stages, knowing that he's not a shit time trialist? He was 10th in the initial time trial, but he's still losing time to Schelmoser and Evenepoel in that time trial. So either he needs to step up when it comes to his time trial and next time trial and suddenly do his best time trial of his life, or he needs to attack in the next 2 days.
He needs more time. He needs more time. And if he feels good, he has to attack. That's just pretty basic rule that I believe in is that if you feel really good, you should attack if you need to gain time. So I think he does need to gain time because, okay, his TT is good, but if you really want to win this race, you can't guarantee that you'll only lose 28 seconds to Remco or less than 28 seconds to Remco in the TT. But he's right up there, and if I had to bet on someone on a longer TT like that, I think he'll beat Skelmoser in that TT. So, yeah, it's really, really close. Here's the revised G. Yeah, so Skelmoser leading GC again. Gall loses time. So Skelmoser took four bonies and took 4 seconds on Gall. No, six bonies. So he took 10 seconds just in that finish, Benji.
Yes.
Gall's in the group with him off the descent. And because he played it right at the finish, wow, that's really interesting. Good, well played by Skelmoser. He goes back into GC lead. 8 seconds ahead of Gall. Ayuso on 18. Evenepoel drops down one on 46 seconds. Bilbao, 57 seconds. Kelderman, 116. Bardet, 129. Uran, 154. Oosterbrooks, 157. Turns, 3 minutes. So really, I see... So Kelderman, Bardet, their TT has been bad. And Uran's too far. And Hjan's TT is bad. Bilbao's TT also isn't really better than Evenepoel or Skelmoser, but he could beat Gall. So the whole podium could completely change. Gall could fall from second to seventh or eighth almost if he doesn't gain more time. Like, worst case, Ayuso can win, Skelmoser can win, Evenepoel can win. I don't really see how Bilbao can win or anyone else, but still, unbelievable race so far. And...
On the descent, we haven't spoken about it yet, but I've been scouring the internet a bit to figure out what the consequences are. But Sheffield crashed in the descent, and it was apparently a pretty horrible crash, according to Skelmoser, who spoke about it after the stage in his interview. He went over the bars and basically crashed in a high-speed descent. Now, Danish TV has said that he's on his way to the hospital, and that considering the circumstances, he's relatively okay. I don't know what that means. I don't want to run forward on the facts either. So let's hope the guy's okay. But I'd say Sheffield would have won the time trial.
Final TT.
Am I crazy?
No. He's climbing unbelievably well. So I think,
probably. Or Wout van Aert or Remco. But yeah, he would have competed for the top three.
So he crashed on the descent, Sheffield. Yeah. He's being taken to hospital.
Yeah.
So, and it could have been worse. So we were really worried doing the podcast. That's why we had Luke and everyone scanning Twitter, etc. Because, Skelmoser said it was a big drop off there. He didn't see if he went over the railing. So that was really scary. I just saw Lilian Carmajan, I think, tweeted about Gino Maeder, like thoughts and best wishes to Gino Maeder. Let's stay safe. So I don't know if Maeder also crashed on the descent. It was a high speed descent with some technical sections. So hopefully everyone's okay. Thank God it was dry. But yeah, guys were pushing full gas. I don't know if Gino would have been though, but anyway, I hope he's okay. Yeah,
you automatically go fast regardless of whether you're pushing, to the point that one small mistake, one small road surface that is not completely smooth can make you scour to the end of the road. And hopefully Maeder's okay. Also saw that Evenepoel commented on the descent being quite treacherous and that they probably should think about that. Now, he got dropped on the descent. Yeah, he got dropped on the descent. But hey, let's hope the riders that crashed have no consequences. As simple as that. Maeder, Sheffield, whoever crashed needs to be on the road as soon as possible after this, in my opinion.
Tomorrow's stage from La Punt. No transfer for the boys today. They'll be happy with that. They do, but they are to Oberville Lieli. It is a medium mountain stage and they do the Albula Pass on the side they just descended. So they just reverse the climb they did. They do 9K, 7% from neutral. That is disgusting. And then they do the descent of the climb they did today, long, badder, really, if you include the false flat downhill at the end, like a 28K descent. Then they do the Lens climb, 7.5K, 7.5%. That's a really hard start to this stage, with also a false flat, sort of a whole summit uphill. Then it goes into, that's the big climbing done. Then it's a flat valley for about 50 Ks. Then the Karenzerberg, 6 Ks, 4.5%. Another flat valley. Now we start a collection of punchy climbs, which are around on the way to the finish. 2.5 Ks, 9.8%, the Schwandistrasse climb. Then more rolling up and down, up and down, up and down. Mm-hmm. Two intermediate sprints. And then here's three climb combinations. 700 meters, 9% descent, 1.4 k's, 8.3% descent, 2.5 k's, 6.7%. And I think it's going to kick off. I think it's going to be GC action.
I think so as well. But my man, what's up with Tour of Switzerland, Tour de Suisse, putting random hikes to high altitude in random stages left and right? How are we starting at high altitude in this stage for a punchy finish? I love it. It's
because they're doing no transfer. They're starting where they finished today.
How fucking funny! But the benefit is that it once again starts with a 9K uphill, like you mentioned. Do you reckon that the break has a chance here? Because who is going to control a stage like this?
Jumbo for Wout.
Will they though?
Yeah, true. Wouldn't you just get him in the break? True. He should get in the break, right?
Yeah. Maybe with a teammate.
Why
even?
Would you control all day for him, maybe to not have it on these steep finishes at the end against
with a tug buddy?
Who will tug the tug buddy if he has no one to tug him? Yeah. Sam Omen maybe in the break with him. I think you're right. But then if I'm remembering back to Tour de Suisse last year, this is Remco lost time on a similar stage where they didn't think there'd be GC action. And these climbs are difficult. Like 2.5K is 10%. And it's up and down. Everyone's already tired. They've done two big, decentish climbs beforehand. And then the collection of the three climbs at the end are both steep in the last 15Ks with no flat in between. And they're decently long. I really think if Ayuso is on, I don't know what his punching is like.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in the start of the World Tour last year, for a guy who can sprint really well, his punch was actually quite poor. But he's won Sakita to get show ahead of Kelderman. I don't know. For Schelmoser, I think Schelmoser and Trek actually need to take some time here because I think Remco is vulnerable to accelerations.
Maybe, but I also believe that Schelmoser is probably thinking, okay, I've got 46 seconds. Now my aim is to try and make sure I keep these 46 seconds and then see where it goes. If I get an opportunity, I'll try and use it. But on the other end, you said UAE when it comes to Ayuso, they've lost Bennett, they've lost Vine, so they can't really control the stage either for Ayuso, so it's down to other people doing it for them. Then Hirschi's there, but Hirschi also fits on a finish like this, so maybe he's going to try and be in the breakaway, Hirschi, and
yeah,
do it that
right.
way, because today he failed. I'm gonna go with Hirschi stage win from the break.
I think that's a good shout, actually. Hirschi's better. I think you're right. Hirschi should be the favorite for this stage from the breakaway. I really think so many people have lost big time on GC, they should be wanting to go on the break. So I think we'll see Nielsen Paulus, Rui Costa, a lot of the same characters in the breakaway. If they had good legs today, they might have good legs tomorrow. And yeah, I think that'll be the break. I agree with your Hirschi pick. I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Rui Costa to win the stage, actually. I think he's in really good shape. He's usually in good shape in Swiss races. And what do you think about GC? So you don't think Schelmoser will go for it?
I think they should go for it. For my entertainment, I love them to go for it. For the fact that... I think Ayuso is more likely to go for it than Schelmoser is.
And then here she's in the breakaway. I reckon Trek should get Simmons in the... Here's what Trek should do.
Mm-hmm.
Simmons in the breakaway.
Yeah.
And then the second last climb, the Islesberg, 1,400 meters, 8.3%. They got to do full lead out, and Schelmoser's got to go full gas on that climb. And
with
then
what?
It's actually a false flat downhill, which you do need a big unit to pace you after that, before the final. I would do that and try and just take another 10. Because right now I think Remco, if we had to do how the TT will play out, I would say Remco wins GC by 10 seconds.
Okay.
10 to 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take that gap to now a minute, all of a sudden, I think Schelmoser wins GC. So really interesting stage. I can't wait to watch it. My pick is Costa. Yours is Hirschi. But yeah, best wishes to both Sheffield and Gino Maeder. Those crashes sound horrible. And just, yeah, really, really scary stuff for those guys. So I hope those guys are okay. Anything else from the racing today, Benji?
I still need to watch the Bavaria Belgium tour, so that's going to be
a
curious.
Real Belgian.
Hey, my man, I had to do a podcast here, so I'm clearly prioritizing the podcast over my nationality, so you can take that as a good thing. No, nonetheless, yesterday, about Bavaria Belgium tour, Philipsen looks fucking good, right? And a strain, because Vanderpool is going to be lead out in the Tour de France every single time now, right?
Yeah. They look really good. Alpecin are just locked in, man. They just have got, like, NVD was in the break, didn't spend too much, and then just went straight into lead out mode. It was really, really impressive what they did yesterday. Fabio, I believe, won the stage today. Sorry to spoil it for
Others
you, Benji.
Crashed.
Pardon?
Philipsen and Ewan crashed in the final.
Oh, okay. Mickey Mouse win then. the Groenewegen won back-to-back in Slovenia, and in the Giro U23, Lucas Nerurkar, the Brit on Trinity, who you will have seen at Gran Camino,
big boy,
came sixth in GC behind Jonas. He is very, very good. I do wonder
how you pronounce it. That's what you wonder.
No, I wonder. Has Ineos already got him locked up?
Good question. Is the Trinity relationship with Ineos now fixed again? Because
yeah,
I swear they had
again.
Some trouble at some
no,
point,
it's
right?
Fine again, apparently, yeah.
Okay.
But 25 or 23 riders from the Giro U23 actually got disqualified yesterday because they finished on the Stelvio, and there was like loads of video everywhere of them just holding cars and motorbikes. So those guys are out of the race, a lot of them.
Yeah, that was crazy, the Stelvio footage of them all holding onto cars from the Giro next
year. How did they not? Was it one of those things where two people started doing it? No commissaire said stop. And then they all just thought it's fine. Because there were people obviously just filming them, holding the car the whole way up. Yeah. Bizarre.
Brilliant. Anyway, let's hope you remember the actual sporty side of the Giro next gen.
Oh, yeah,
Stan
Mitzit won the stage, yeah. He's on Jumbo World Tour team next year.
Yeah.
Or is he on it now?
Where's Lamperti going? Because I swear he won the sprint, right? 2 days ago?
Ineos, I reckon.
Ooh.
I reckon he'll go to Ineos.
Okay.
They need a sprinter, dude. They have four World Tour wins.
My man, did you not see Viviani losing the race today?
Which race? Ruud Occitanie or something.
I don't remember which. I think it was Ruud Occitanie, and he lost the sprint. He was in terrible position. Then he moved to the right side of the road, and he was like blocked in because one rider was in front of him, one on his left. Then he shouldered the rider on his left to the left twice or three times to try and... Basically, he did a Groenewegen on Govekar. And ended up second anyway.
I think he might have been relegated.
Has he? Deservedly.
Yeah. Did you say he came second on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah, on PCS, he's last of the group. So he got relegated.
Get fucked.
Without us even saying anything. Kudos to that commissaire.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fair enough. Maren van den Berg won that. But yeah, I think, would you take Lamperti or Vernon? I would take Lamperti. He's a bit, because like Vernon to me, he's a good rider.
Yeah.
But his ceiling to me seems a bit lower than Lamperti's. Lamperti's could have a higher ceiling than Vernon. So, yeah.
Thing is, my problem with Vernon is that so far I've seen him do good sprints in Mickey Mouse races. That's no offense to Vernon,
with
but
no
it's like
the
competition wasn't really solid. Rwanda, for example, I don't give a fuck about Vernon attacking. Some of them were children. Mulebrand, for example, on the bike, he's a good rider. He's a fucking good rider, but he's not a sprinter. He's like a versatile rider, like Desfazionis, for example. So if Vernon is fighting those type of riders in a sprint, it's obvious that he wins. So I want to see him do sprints like, for example, if you had, for example, a Trofeo Palma-like race, but he was winning
Palma.
Like, fuck. But
he literally won it this season.
Fuck.
He beat Vinny.
Fuck. My entire argument is fuck.
I mean, yeah, but they're training races that appear on PCS, you know. No, but he won Romandy stage one ahead of, you're right, ahead of Nice. I think he's good. And I think his versatility is okay. Is he going to be, like you saw at the Dauphiné, that out and out burner? Probably not. But could he be a really good climbing sprinter? Yeah,
It's different. I haven't seen him get close against top level competition. That's what I'm missing when it comes to
Yeah, Porsche. Yeah.
Because like, he's also being sent to Mickey Mouse races by Quickstep, so.
Like Catalunya, he beat Bauhaus, and then it was basically got on Bovan Groves, you know, in that sprint. So
he's beat like Bauhaus.
I think he's different. I think he's a different sprinter. He's younger. He's also quite young. I think he's a good rider, but Lamperti's winning everything. Like Lamperti, he goes to a race. If it has a sprint, he'll win a sprint there. He's won so many races this year, and he's 2 years younger than
He's family of that famous, was it a midfielder at Chelsea back in the day? Frank Lamperti? Sorry, that was a terrible joke. We should continue. I'm ashamed.
No, we're ending the podcast now. That's all from us today. Benji's ended the podcast early. We'll see you with the recap of Swiss tomorrow. Ciao.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.